Good to have everyone here this morning. What a joy to share in the work that God is doing in our lives and the lives of our church, to come and to do our work of worshiping God and remembering Him and gathering around the Lord's table and singing praise to His name. It's great to be a part of this congregation. A lot of things going on and a lot of work that's being done in the lives of each one. Operation Christmas Child Boxes are out and going and getting those back, and thankful for that ministry. Sign-up sheet back there for a church Thanksgiving meal we're having November 20th. So fill out those that list and bring some items and share in a time of Thanksgiving meal. I told the class this morning, if you have a recipe that you're working on to prepare for your real Thanksgiving meal, and this will be a real Thanksgiving meal, but the official holiday Thanksgiving, come and test it out on us that Wednesday night, and it will be blessed by it. And also, as mentioned this morning as well, after services at 12:15, there is a wedding. And a couple that, Edward and Colleen, that have joined us, come to us through our Wednesday night and here worshiping with us. So they've been together for a while and they just haven't done right. And they want to get right with the Lord by obeying His commandment of getting married. And so if you're able to stay about 12:15, you can do that, stay and share in the sharing of their vows and supporting them. If not, pray for them and encourage them as they're here in worship with us this morning. But also, there's a wedding ceremony. I love weddings. I don't know about you. I love that commitment and that union before God, that commitment to God, where marriage is that place where God says, show the world me by how you love one another. And have that rugged commitment to one another as Christ has that rugged commitment to you. And, you know, it's that great picture that He is the bride and we are the groom. You know, it might be hard for a guy to feel like a groom, but we are the bridegroom and committed to Him and Him, His commitment to us. We're glad to have everyone here this morning. I want to let you know that we're working towards a response to this. We're always working towards a response, but let you know that talking about a response to the Lord. And if you've been called by the Lord to respond this morning, respond. Our baptistry is getting worked on, so it's out of water. And so if you're prepare, and hope God will prepare. I'm planting that seed in you now. If you haven't been baptized and crossed that line, then we'll fill that up and have that ready for you. But also be working towards, this is a part of, we've been working through this series of life's healing choices, of living a life, living recovery, and today is about making a commitment. And I want to challenge you, maybe you've made commitments, and to restore and renew that commitment again and again. That's a blessing we have each Sunday when we come together to gather around the table to remember and recommit to that covenant that the Lord made with us, and that if you've made that covenant, that we've made with Him. This morning, I'm a sinner, but I'm a child of God. I trust in His power, and I have crossed that line. Have you crossed that line? Have you made that commitment to the Lord? Have you become His child? Have you said, enough of my way, I want you. You're the only one that can help me, and I'm going to allow you to save me. Do you remember that day you were baptized? Do you remember what your life was before you were baptized? And do you remember what led up to that point, how God came into your life? Do you know who did God use to share the gospel with you? What do you remember about God's word? What was it that got you to that place where you said, I want you, Jesus? And you buried your life with Him and you rose to eternal life with Him. Do you remember that day you believed? Do you remember that day you were baptized? Do you remember the choices you made that day and the choices you've continued to make every day after? Do you remember times that you've had to repent again and again? I know that I'm looking at many saints who have gone a long way, and I'm blessed as a young man of faith. I've been a baptized believer, I guess, 31 years. I'm 41 years old. I was baptized when I was 10 years old. I remember when I crossed that line. But there have been other lines that I've had to cross, times I've had to recommit, times I've had to go back and say, yes, Lord, again and again. If I'm blessed to be with a body of Christians that I see that are mighty, strong men and women of faith. I'm blessed to be a part of a church of saints that have walked this path for a while, that have made that commitment and have had to renew that commitment, that have been through trials, been through struggles, but are continuing to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is the Son of God, that He is Savior, that He is the only way, truth, and life, that no one comes to the Father except through Him, that He is the only way. To be with those that have said, I have decided to follow Jesus. I am blessed to be a part of a church of mighty, strong men and women of faith. I know it hasn't been easy. I know that there have been hurts. I know there's things that have happened to you that are out of your control. Things that people have done to you, that have said to you, that have hurt you deeply, and you carry those hurts. I know that there are habits that you've gotten into, habits that you've repented from, that you've overcome, and some that continue to still plague our lives of trying to cope with those hurts and those hang-ups. And I know that at times there are things that hang us up, that keep us from committing again and again, for coming back to the Lord again and again, and for making the choice to live for Him again and again. But I praise God that you have taken up your cross today to follow Him, that you've chose to follow your first love. It's great to know that we are not alone, that we're surrounded by living saints, but also the passage that was read already in the scripture reading from Hebrews chapter 12, that we are also surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Those who have gone before us, those that we read of scriptures, those in our own lives that we've known, those family members, those that perhaps led you to the Lord, that were, when I ask you, who were the ones that helped you believe, who was in your life, some of these saints, that we are not alone. And I want to reread this scripture as a blessing again over us this morning as we consider again our commitment to God. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your witness, and may you continue to witness and testify to the Lord in your life. We've been in a series about life's healing choices, this idea of living a life of freedom and of recovery, of always living in that freedom of giving our lives to Christ again and again, of getting out of our sinful nature and more into Christ, this process of being purified and sanctified and justified as He has already saved us. But it takes some effort. It takes some choices that you have made, that you've made time and time again, and I'm asking you again this morning to make again today. These high healing choices come from Jesus, from the sermon He gave on the Sermon on the Mount, starting off by saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This choice that says, I need God, that I am powerless under my control. I am powerless to take care of my hurts. I am powerless to control my habits. I'm powerless to overcome the things that hang me up. And so I need help. You ever been in a body of water or in a pool and you've been playing with a beach ball or a ball and you try to hold that ball under the water? You know, you can hold it under there for a while and maybe you challenge yourself, see who can hold this ball under the longest. And you might be able to do it for a while, but as you hold it and people start bumping into you or the weather starts to change and the wind starts to blow and that wall gets heavier and heavier, and as much as you try to have the power to control it, eventually, poof, it comes up and slaps you in the face. Blessed are the poor who realize, I am not powerful enough, that I need God. And this morning I hope that you're working to say, I need God. Because blessed are the poor in spirit, that I don't have the power of myself, but I know who does. Jesus goes on, the sermon now says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This is that decision that says, after I realize I have a need, that I will get help. It's one thing to say, yeah, I'm powerless. But sometimes we might choose to stay powerless and we don't actually get the help. To get the help, we have to realize what we lost. And sometimes that involves pain and that requires grieving over that, to mourn and to cry over that loss of the control. To mourn and cry over the hurts that my choices have made to my life and the lives of others, and ultimately to mourn over the loss of Christ on my behalf as the one who's able to comfort, who's overcome those hurts and those habits and those hang-ups. And so blessed are the mourn who choose to get help, to pursue God. And he goes on, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This choice of letting go, this is the commitment choice. This is the action choice. This is the movement choice. Because once we admit our need and realize I need God, then I need to get God. I need to move into that relationship with Him. This is a strength choice. This word, blessed are the meek, sounds a lot like weak, doesn't it? Blessed are the weak, but this is anything but weak. What being meek is, because you are people of strength. You are people of power. You are people that have a will. You have the ability to make choices. So you are anything but weak. And so blessed are the meek. A meek are those who suffer and are humbled. They that don't seek revenge, but they seek God's glory and the welfare of others, and they use their strength to trust in God. Blessed are the meek, those who are able to resist, to use their strength to not respond the way the world responds, to not respond in those ways that you've tried before. You've responded in weakness before of the ways of the world, and it's come back where that ball splashes you in the face. Being meek is trusting in God, saying, I'm going to hold my strength and I'm going to give my strength over to God. It's that choosing, that power that I have the choice to make, and which choice am I going to make? Being meek is crossing that line. Because it's a big choice to make, is saying, who am I going to let help me? Will this one actually help me? Will it work? See, Jesus is the one who will work. He is the one who can help. But it still is a choice of strength. It's a choice of strength to lay it all down, to let it go, to lay our burden, say, I've been carrying this, and I feel like I have some type of control and some power that I'm maintaining, I'm holding on, I'm getting through. But the question is, do you want freedom? Do you want a life of freedom? A life of living in recovery with Jesus? And it takes great strength to lay your life down. So blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. But what keeps people from making this choice? What has kept us at times from making this commitment to continue laying that down? You know, what kept you from so long before you came to Christ to make that commitment? And as we've taken on burdens and struggles in our life, what keeps you time and time again? Well, there are some things that keep us from making that commitment. It may be pride. Confidence in our own strength. It's a misplacing of our strength. Of saying, I can do this. I can make it this time. But the Proverbs says that pride comes before the fall. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. See, failure to be humble will result in more pain. So sometimes pride keeps us from keeps us from recovery. But Jesus says, blessed are the meek. See, meekness is the power to be humble. See, to be humble is a choice. And that takes great strength to be humble, to fall before God. See, what else might help but keep us from this commitment? It might be guilt. The shame that, man, I've done too much. I've been through too much. And see, we like to look at God, how we look at ourselves. Well, I would never accept myself. I would never forgive myself for the things that... And there are other people who have not forgiven. Other people are ashamed of me and the things that I've caused. See, we get caught up in guilt, but the Lord is not ashamed of us. He says if we're ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of us. But He's not ashamed. Let me look at a story in Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And following, Luke chapter 7, 36 and following. Story of Jesus eating with some Pharisees. And I'm going to summarize a little bit and pick up some of the verses, but I want you to know where these stories are coming from. Jesus was having a dinner at a Pharisee's house, and a sinful woman came in and lived a sinful life, a woman full of shame, one who has been shamed and people have shamed her. She learned that he was eating at this Pharisee's house, and she comes into his house and began wetting his feet with her tears. And then she begins to wipe them with her hair, and then she begins to kiss them and perfume his feet. And those who were in the house began to say to themselves, if this man knew who she was that was touching him, what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. See, she knew of the shame. They knew of the shame. But then Jesus says, Simon, I have something to tell you. Two men owed money lenders some money. One of them owed him 500 denarii, another owed him 50. Neither of them had the money to pay it back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. He says, you have judged correctly, Jesus says. He turns to the woman and says, Simon, do you see this woman? Do you see her? I came into your house, and you did not give me water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and has dried them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, and this woman has not stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. For he who has been forgiven little loves little. And Jesus says to her, your sins have been forgiven. Sometimes our shame keeps us from God, but the Lord is not ashamed of us. And so this woman showed great meekness, great strength to seek God in her shame. Where else could she go? But sometimes our guilt keeps us. Sometimes our pride keeps us. Sometimes our guilt keeps us. And sometimes our fear keeps us. Fear of the uncertainty, the fear of the unknown. Well, what if I commit? Then what will that mean? What will that require? I don't know if I want to make those changes. I don't know if I can make those changes. I don't know what is ahead. I don't know if I can trust this God. Who is this God? I don't know if I want to let go of myself in this way, because I've made myself and I've lived my life this way. I've gone down this path long enough. I don't know if I want to give up the control I've had over others with how I've responded to my sinfulness. I don't know if I want to give up my ambitions or my habits or my lifestyles or my possessions. I don't know if I want to give up. I'm afraid to give up some relationships. Well, Jesus in Mark chapter 5, if you want to turn there, a man who was afraid, a man who was out of control, a man who others were afraid of because they couldn't control him. So they take him and put him in a place called the Gerasenes. Mark chapter 5. They went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with the evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. The man lived in the tombs and no one could bind him anymore, not even with the chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. He tore the chains apart and broke the irons with his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and he would cut himself with stones. Talk about being afraid. This man was even probably afraid of himself. He couldn't even control himself. And see, that's what happens with our sins and our hurts. If we hang on to them long enough, We're an endangerment to ourselves. It overcomes us and it becomes our master. And we become a subservient to it. To the point where even those around us are become afraid that they can't handle it. But look, sometimes fear keeps us. But if you're meek and you come to the Lord, even in that fear, what can happen? Mark chapter 5, verse 6, this man, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus has said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Every time I've heard this story and read this story, I think about this man who's out of control, who's fearful of his life, who others have feared. And he comes before God and you think, oh man, he's going to give the Lord a run for his money. He's going to give him a wrestle or a fight or a push back. You see, fear keeps us away and thinking, well, this man, Jesus, is just going to treat me like everybody else has done. He's going to push me away or fight against me or tie me back up. When these people have tied him up and put him away, that didn't help him. But at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that in fear this man showed great meekness, taking his strength and even all the power of his sin that was controlling him was not strong enough to resist the Lord. See, meekness caused him to seek mercy when he's lost control. And Jesus cast out those demons, throws them into a herd of pigs, and then when the people came around, I like what it says in verse 15, when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by a legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind. Fear can keep us away. Because in our fear, we're out of our mind. But in meekness, you can seek mercy when you've lost control. And He will set your mind at peace. Another thing that might keep us away is worry. That worry of maybe tied to those fears of what's going to be next? What is this going to mean? How will everything work out? How am I going to do the things that I know that's probably going to be required of me next? He's going to work on my life in these areas. How am I going to overcome that? How am I going to change this? And how am I going to alter that? You ever kept yourself from so many great things, some great ideas because just you worried about it too much? Maybe you wanted to go somewhere. You wanted to do something. And you started thinking, yeah, I would love to do that someday. And you say, well, it's going to cost them. I'm going to have to take off work. Who's going to watch the kids? Who's going to watch the dog? You know, what's it going to be like? And so much, you worry so much that you just don't even do anything. You know, this is that moment, that choice that says, if you know what it is you need, then jump. Then go. Then do. Then respond. Don't worry. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about worry. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 31, says, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." See, meekness is to take all that power, all that energy that you're taking and worrying, and put trust in God. To seek first. To make that big ultimate choice. You know, if you've gotten to this place where you've admitted that, yes, I'm powerless. Yes, I need. Now make the choice to seek and to get Him. To make the big choice. You know, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. That main thing is Christ. He says, don't worry about those things. Be meek. Take that power of you worrying, that power that's holding you back, and trust in God. And a fifth thing that might keep us from committing is doubt. Saying, you know, I just don't know. I don't know if I can. I don't know if it's possible. Another great story in Mark chapter 5, verse 21 and following. Jesus was going somewhere. He's always going somewhere. Jesus had crossed over by boat to the other side of a lake, and a crowd had gathered around him while he was by the lake. One of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came up to him, and seeing him, Jairus was at had a catastrophe. We talked about last week, you know, what are some of the things that help us to seek God? Is sometimes catastrophe. Well, he had a major catastrophe. His daughter was dying. He says, please come and place your hands on her so that she will be healed. So Jesus went with him. And there's this little activity that happens as he's going there. He's going through these crowds, and a woman busts through the crowd who is in a desperate situation. Someone who had been plagued with a sickness her whole life that admitted that I'm out of control, I'm powerless. No one else is powerful enough to heal me. And she's admitting that I need God. And people are saying this man is doing things that only God can do. And he busts through the crowd and he touches just the hem of his garment because he believed if I just touched him, I'll be healed. And Jesus stops in the middle of the crowd. As always, people are touching him and crowding around him. He says, stop, someone's touched me. And the disciples are like, everyone's touching you. We're in a busy place. Everyone's bumping into you. How do you mean someone? And no, someone has touched me because the power has gone out of me. And then she was exposed. He says, who touched me? She sees this woman and says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be freed from suffering. And so he arrives now to Jairus' house where he's about ready to get there. After this commotion in the crowd, some of Jairus' servants come up to Jesus and say to Jairus, it's too late. He can't do anything now. She was sick. She was dying. Maybe he could have stopped it. But your daughter has died. Why bother this teacher anymore? And ignoring what they said. See, we have these doubts. We don't know. We know how it's going to be possible. Nothing's impossible with Jesus. And she says, don't be afraid. Just believe. How about you today? What choices do you need to make today? Are you living free? Are you living in recovery? What do you believe about Jesus? Is he the one? Is he the only one? When Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say I am? They said, Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the King? Do you believe that he is the Son of God? Will you believe and be meek? Will you have the strength, the power, and the will to choose Jesus? Who do you say Jesus is? Do you believe that he died and rose again? Do you believe that he is the Savior? That he is able? So why do you doubt? You know, Thomas was known as being the doubter. But aren't we a lot like Thomas? So why should you doubt? When we say, well, why should he doubt? We should ask ourselves, why do we doubt? Thomas was doubting. They said that Jesus had rose again. He wasn't so sure about it because that's something that seems impossible. That doesn't seem like anything that's ever happened before. And Jesus shows up to Thomas and says, see my hands, see my side, put your fingers here, stop doubting, and believe. And then he says, my Lord and my God. Is Jesus your Lord? Is he your God? Look at the body of Christ around you. See the hands. See the wounds that have been healed in the lives of other believers, other saints that have gone before you. See the hands. See the scars. Look at the body. Will you follow Jesus? When Jesus called his disciples, he says, come follow me. And they were meek. They weren't weak. They left everything and followed Jesus. Will you admit your need this morning? Be meek to say, yeah, I've made that commitment, but I still have hurts and habits. There are some prides that I hold on to. I'm ashamed of some things. I'm afraid of what giving my life to Christ again might mean. I'm worried. I don't know how it's all going to happen, and
Sometimes I wonder, could it even happen? Is it even possible? I encourage you this morning to be meek and to lay it all down. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Will you cross the line again this morning and be meek and come to Jesus? To be like that sinful woman who was not ashamed and she was forgiven. To be like that man who was demon-possessed, who had no fear, and he was set free. To be like Jairus, who doubted, but he believed and received life again. Will you cross that line for the first time, or for the 100th time, or the 1,000th time today? I'd like to draw a line up here on the floor. If we were standing in the sand, I would take out a stick and I would draw the line and say, will we cross that line again? If you haven't crossed that line for the first time, and you like to respond to say, you know what? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe in His power. I believe in His ability to do what I cannot do on my own. What only He can do and only He has done. And we'll take some time. We'll fill that up. We'll wait for that and get that. But if you've crossed that line before and you want to cross that line again, who will model that? Who will show that? That we are not afraid. That we are not ashamed. That we are all in need of God. To cross that line again. To choose Him again. To commit to Him again. To let it go. To be meek. Even this morning as we stand and sing.